just let the cow be the cow. And by taking this approach, really simplifying our diet is 60% forages. You can't do that unless you have really high quality, healthy forages. 60, anywhere from 57 to 65% forage in our diet typically. But from that, we're getting a 12.2% component deficiency. We're getting 107 to 110 pounds of energy corrected milk. Reproduction is phenomenal. We're getting 60 to 62 pounds of dry matter intake. So none of that happens if you don't have good feed for that cow to eat. And it all starts in the soil. It just truly does.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Get an exclusive update from the top dairy feed suppliers live on May 28th at 1 p.m. Central. Reserve your free spot at dairynutritionblackbelt.com/summit. DietForge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. Boost digestive health, performance, and profitability with Digesterone Prime, a feed additive that enhances digestion and immune function in dairy calves. Learn more at dsm-firmenich.com/prime. Excellent, a novel product for the management of hypocalcemia. It's uncomplicated excellence. Adiseo USA, producers of Smartamine M and MilkPay.com. Priority IAC, the only company bringing the fields of microbiology and nutrition together. Agrarian Solutions, research-backed microbial solutions for healthier, higher-performing livestock. AgriComfort, the cow comfort specialist, because her longevity is your legacy.
Good day and welcome to the Dairy Podcast. I'm Mark Thomas from Dairy Health, and today we have the pleasure of having Ron Brooks with us. Good afternoon, Ron.
Hi, Mark, and you're much warmer than I am, so I'm a little jealous.
Yes, as we connect from Mexico, a little bit better than Wisconsin. But we were just chatting about the screwworm and how sometimes that cold climate may help not only insect-borne diseases, but others that can't maybe survive that nasty weather.
Well, it keeps the tourists away, and if it keeps the screwworm larvae frozen, I guess that is one benefit of 50 below wind chills.
That is one thing coming from Northern New York originally that I don't miss all too much is waking up and having to start the day with, 2 feet of snow and mine is 20, 30 degree weather. But welcome, Ron. And Ron is the owner and CEO of Brooks Farms, 700 cow dairy in Wisconsin. And Ron just shared with me that the dairy was originally founded by his great-great-grandfather in 1855. So really impressive, Ron. That's quite a generational asset to have amongst your family.
It is. And we're transitioning now to my daughters. Zoe was our 67th, Alice in Dairyland. We have a policy on the farm that before you come back to the farm after college, you have to go somewhere else first. And typically that's, going and working. And she did work for Crave Brothers. So then she became Alice. And we certainly said, well, that qualifies you. And now she is my chief operations officer, real quickly moving into the CEO seat. And that puts me kind of fading into the past at 66. It's time for me to take a back seat. And my role on the farm now is to get out of the way without going away.
I really like your comments around that and your thought process. And that sounds like another podcast potentially of generational transfer, because I've heard that before, that you need to go somewhere else before you come back. And I think that's a great concept. And I think also the willingness to step back, right? There's sometimes older generations that still hang on and maybe don't give the reins over early enough to the younger generation.
Yeah, the history here has been, and myself included, Zoe's, she's a little bit apprehensive because she thinks I'm stepping back too much too fast. And I certainly felt the same way when my dad suddenly decided that it was time to retire in 2003. It was planned for, but it was sudden and quick. And I looked in the mirror and went, how am I going to do this? And I think Zoe's feeling some of that same anticipation right now, but she's a phenomenal young woman. Her younger sister is also coming back. She right now is working for SMASTEC. She's the North American Director of Marketing for SMASTEC International and getting great experience. We're actually doing a pilot program with SMASTEC on their bolus. So we're pretty excited.
I have met her then. I think it was at World Dairy Expo. So small world.
Feed formulation software is stuck in the past. Most tools haven't evolved beyond basic least cost optimization. A Diet Forge changes that. It's an AI-powered platform with nonlinear ingredient modeling for enzymes and additives, cost per gain and maximum profit optimization, and real-time collaboration like Google Docs for nutrition. Every recommendation is grounded in world-class research, built for modern nutritionists who need more than legacy desktop software can deliver. Work seamlessly with your team and optimize the way modern operations demand. Try DietForge.ai free today. Feed formulation, finally modernized.
So, Ron, before we connected, as I always do to kind of get a little background, you said connection between soil health and cow health. And I really appreciate that comment. I guess I haven't gone back as far as think about soil health. When I first started doing nutrition and work as a veterinarian in 1998 or so, I recall nutritionists saying, you know, what are you meddling in nutrition for as a veterinarian? What, you know, why are you doing this? And I said, excuse me, my reply has always been, name for me any diseases of economic significance that aren't directly related to nutrition and feeding. And so certainly, you know, crop quality, et cetera, and the ration, but let's take that step back. And as we said, you know, we have the Black Belt podcast. It's a shorter discussion, but give us some of your insight on soil health and cow health.
You have to look at the soil microbiome just about like you have to look at that cow gut. That rumen isn't really that much different from that soil biome. And Dr. Ryan Lederman with Crystal Creek Nutrition, there are nutritionists. We were with other nutrition companies and finally found a company that kind of fit us. And Crystal Creek really does that quite well. They listened to us. They knew what we wanted to achieve, taking it from soil health all the way to the cow, and then even back with the manure and completing that loop. So when you look at the soil as a living, breathing microorganism, it kind of changes the way you look at it, right? And I think the eye-opening moment for me was about the time I got out of college. I also became a pilot. And I do what I call these follow the water flights. So I'll take young people up. I'll take other farmers up. Anybody that I can convince on conservation or stewardship, and we'll follow the water. After a heavy rainfall, we'll get up in the plane and we'll look, okay, here's where water is running off. And we virtually have none on ours. We estimate that about 95% of the water that falls on our land because of our soil health infiltrates the land. That's step number one. Stop tilling the land. Stop beating it up and let it heal. Once you do that and you get the water infiltrate, that half the battle is won. But in these flights, we'll follow the water, and from somebody that's doing tillage, you'll see you'll see topsoil running off, you'll see manure running off, and you'll follow it down the ditch, you'll follow it to the creek, you'll follow it to the river. And we'll go all the way out to the Mississippi River, or we'll go all the way out to Lake Michigan, and every tributary where it dumps into another larger body of water, you'll see the silt fans. And you know in your mind what those silt fans are carrying. Those are precious nutrients. Those are contaminants. Those are things that we need on our soil. And when you look at the soil as a healthy, breathing organism, kind of the canary in the coal mine is earthworms. If you don't have earthworms, you got a soil problem. And earthworms are detritivores. They're not really ruminants. They're kind of more like a chicken. So if you understand earthworm metabolism, they eat soil. They eat weeds. They eat organic matter. They grind it up in kind of a gizzard-like process, and they poop it out. The cool thing that we've seen in 40 years now of no-till and letting the land heal is that earthworm poop is pH neutral. So we always blamed our constant liming that we had to do on, you know, chemical fertilizers and salts and acidic fertilizers. Part of the big problem was we didn't have enough earthworms. And earthworms, you know, it's a double-edged sword. They're good farmers, too. So what we learned early on is earthworms do eat a lot of seeds and prevent a lot of weeds from germinating. Mustards, they grind up. We have no mustard. They don't touch rhizome plants like quackgrass, obviously. But earthworms, for some reason, love giant ragweed. They will find a giant ragweed seed, and they will take it down in their burrow 3 or 6 inches underground, and they'll store it. Earthworms are really good farmers. But at least when you know and understand the critter, you know looking forward what weed issues you're going to have. Think about this, Mark. An acre of well-populated earthworm soil, those earthworms will eat 40 tons of soil annually.
Wow, 40 tons, wow.
So if you take 6 inches of topsoil, that's about 10% of that six inches of topsoil that they're consuming every year. When I get introduced at an event as the no-till guy or the conservation tillage guy or, you know, whatever the title is, the first thing I'll say is, well, I hate to tell you, there's no such thing as no-till. Let's call it slow-till. These earthworms are working 24/7. I'm such a geek. My homepage, when it shows up here, is what it looks like between my rows in August with all the earthworm castings. It literally looks like you went out there with a rototiller and just worked it up. And I think, you know, part of telling dairy's story is knowing your numbers. You know, what are we doing to the soil? How are we protecting nutrients? How does that relate to how healthy of food? We've all heard you are what you eat. That applies to cows, too. If I'm providing that cow with healthy, well-balanced food that, you know, we don't spray fungicides. Because what you have to realize is when you spray a fungicide, you're killing all the good, all the mycelia die as well. So Mother Nature seems to have a way of, she doesn't always get it right, but she usually is a whole lot smarter than I am.
You know, that makes perfect sense, Ron. I mean, as we've done, as I mentioned, we do quite a bit of research, and a number of the trials that we've done, especially in calves, is looking at not treating mild diarrhea with antibiotics. And I think just makes me think, you know, as a veterinarian, as we develop treatment protocols, okay, what are we doing that's detrimental, right? We think, well, let's get on these calves right away with an antibiotic, but what do? We also kill the beneficial bacteria. And then how does that disrupt? So
when you put antibiotics, you know, randomly, and let's face it, Mark, 50 years ago, we fed antibiotics, for gosh sakes. But look what you open that gut microbiome up to if you wipe out all the beneficial bacteria.
Exactly.
Look at them in human health as well. When you take a broad spectrum antibiotic, now you started a chain reaction until you reestablish that gut health. And it's no different with calves.
Natural Biologics is using cutting edge science to deliver cost effective solutions for the animal health and productivity challenges you face. For conventional or organic production systems, Natural Biologics can help support rumen health and immune function, mitigate pathogens, and increase production efficiency. Visit naturalbiologics.com to learn more. Imagine a dry off day that doesn't clog your parlor. Choose optimal dry cow care with AHV StopLac. StopLac delivers operational ease and parlor efficiency at dry-off with one dose and one touch for a gentle, comfortable transition into the dry period. Learn more at ahvint.com.
So, I really like your thought process and your approach, and, taking a step back to, again, we have lots of tools available to us in all aspects, in the farming aspect and the animal health and treatment and reproductive programs, but just not forgetting also, I think, let the cow be the cow, or, you know, let the field be the field in this case, correct?
Yeah, you know, and I love what you say. We've let the cow be the cow, because that's one of our big adages here is just let the cow be the cow. And by taking this approach, really simplifying our diet is 60% forages. You can't do that unless you have really high quality, healthy forages. 60, anywhere from 57 to 65% forage in our diet typically. But from that, we're getting a 12.2% component deficiency. We're getting 107 to 110 pounds of energy corrected milk. Reproduction is phenomenal. We're getting 60 to 62 pounds of dry matter intake. So none of that happens if you don't have good feed for that cow to eat. And it all starts in the soil. It just truly does.
So, Ron, what would be, I guess, as we wrap up here, some of the like main take-home points that you have found in terms of soil health? I'd say one or two. You mentioned, being careful with obviously fungicides, et cetera. Are there any kind of key, for our listeners? Hey, that's something as we're getting into planning, crop planning here, in most places, especially Wisconsin, you're gearing up for that, but you're not quite ready, obviously, with the cold and snow. But as these folks think ahead to, end of March, beginning of April, as we start prepping the land, et cetera, what are two comments you can make regarding that? Don't do this and make sure you do that, perhaps.
Try to wean yourself from tillage, number one. Try to stop beating up that soil biosphere and just let it heal. Now, I hear so often that, no-till won't work on my soil, or I tried it and it doesn't work. You can't expect it to work the first year. You've done a lot of damage. It takes a year. It takes two. It takes some planning. So if you're going to start no-tilling, I wouldn't do it next year if you haven't managed your residue. So if you don't have good residue management, work on residue management this growing season. Prepare yourself to be doing no-till conservation tillage and start small. Ask neighbors what works. But, start with the conservation tillage. Get that aspect of it kind of nailed in and then go from there. And it takes, don't expect your planting equipment that you've planted in till ground to work. You're going to have to modify it somewhat. You have to size the residue. You have to move the residue. But trust me, it can be done on any soil type. So that would be number one is reduced tillage, no-till is huge. Getting those nutrients back on the land. Something that terrifies me, Mark, is a project that's not very far from you. In Colorado, there's a company called Vaulted Deep. Have you heard of it?
No, I haven't.
They're taking cow manure, injecting it 6,000 feet deep to sequester the carbon. And they've got investors piling on board to help them do this. This can't happen. Number one, we're locking up all those valuable nutrients. Number two, putting raw manure 6,000 feet in the ground is just a really, really, really bad idea.
I would say so. water contamination seems to be.
And secondly, I would say really start paying attention to the water. Know your numbers. Have a water meter. Know what we know that we use about 25,000 gallons of water a day. Tell your story. So often CAFOs get blamed for, you're depleting the aquifer, you're using too much water. If you don't have the numbers to back up your story and to talk about soil health and why your soil is healthy, if you don't know that an acre inch of water is 27,000 gallons, well, you do the math, we're stewards of 1,600 acres of soil, of healthy soil, and we get 37 inches of rain here a year. That means that our 25,000 gallons of water a day, we can supply our annual use of water with a quarter inch rainfall on our 1,600 acres. That tells me that we are charging the aquifer, not discharging it. But people don't understand that. And that's all part of healthy soil and healthy plants that end up going to the cow.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Want a herd management software designed for you? BovaSync is helping herds by managing data faster and easier. Contact BovaSync today to learn more. Natural Biologics delivers cost-effective solutions to improve health and productivity, helping conquer the rumen health and immunity challenges your animals face. Accurately measure individual cow feed efficiency with the newest advancement from AffiMilk. Visit AffiMilk.com to learn more. That's AffiMilk.com. Evonik Animal Nutrition, sciencing the global food challenges. Cow Manager, ahead of the herd together. Safe, simple, stop lack. Contact AHV for comfortable dry cow care. Reduce dyscalcemia and simplify transition cow care with Cowbell Pro from Chemlock Nutrition. The next giant leap in dairy profitability is here. Introducing AffiColler Feed Efficiency Service from AffiMilk, the first sensor to accurately measure individual cow dry matter intake. Combine individual feed consumption with milk production data to get profitability insights never before available. Hear from producers who are using it to make a big impact on profitability and sustainability at AffiMilk.com.
So Ron, I'm hearing a number of different podcast topics here to have you back again. You know, digging more into this topic, obviously, you are passionate about what you talk about. That's super cool, and also, an advocate for environmental stewardship at the level of the consumer, the general public, who is somewhat disconnected from ag. So, I'm going to encourage the developers of this podcast to invite you back, and I'm anxious to hear more from you.
Yeah, I love educating. We had a group here last night. We're starting a new business. I've patented a dog brush, right? So you've seen the cow brushes. We've patented a brush that not only brushes your dog, but feeds it treats, vacuums up the hair, and we're launching that product. The website is forfur.net. The brush is called Forfur. So we had a group here. I know nothing about social media, and we had a group here last night of young college students that are going to work on our social media presence. And they got here, and they said, oh, this is a factory farm. So, you know, we have to correct that right away. And I talked to them, and I think I convinced this group of Gen Zers that what they're hearing on the internet isn't always accurate. We talked about water use and water, stewardship. And then I asked them flat out, I said, so you hear the term CAFO all the time, and you equate that to factory farm. Have you ever heard the term CAHO? And they all shook their head and said, no. And I said, I consider a CAHO a concentrated area of human occupation. That's a city. Why are cities any different than a CAFO? We understand we have to treat manure. We understand, we're 20 years behind Europe. We need anaerobic digestion on farms. We need to do a better job, folks. And I think they came around a little bit.
No, that's
and
great.
The topic expound on, we've had a battle here. We're trying to build an anaerobic co-digester on our farm. Now, with 700 cows, with 1,300 total animals, we're not big enough to support a manure-only digester. So we're looking at a co-digester. Our 150 tons of manure, supplemented with 250 tons of food waste every day, that's now going to landfills. We thought, this is such a great idea environmentally for the community. We're going to be transparent about this, right? We took it to the community, and it ended up in a social media holocaust. It was terrible. And we've been in about a three-year permitting battle now with not in my backyard people on this project. So it's tough, and it's going to take a lot of education.
Yes, no, those are challenging processes. We have a number of clients who have been through that, and certainly it's something that's a challenge. But Ron, a real pleasure to meet you, a real pleasure to get some of your insight here today. Thank you for joining. Again, Ron Brooks from Brooks Farms in Wisconsin. Thank you again, and this is Mark Thomas signing off from the Dairy Podcast.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Ron, and stay warm there in Wisconsin.
I'll try.
Take care.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent with Appa Time Zone Hassle.
Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.